Once again, a warm welcome, and of course, we have two very familiar persons whom I know very well, and that is Brother George and Sister Susan. When I was here 4 weeks ago, I gave them a call, and our Brother George said, "Ah, here comes the return of our prodigal son." Well, it is half true. True in a spiritual sense, indeed. I was indeed a prodigal son, spiritually speaking. But I was not a prodigal son by leaving this church. It was another calling that I have to go to. Well, it's good to have them back with us. Here, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 5 here, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I promise to be short, but not 10 minutes, definitely. So those of you who are hoping for a 10-minute sermon, too bad. And if you really cannot keep awake, I suggest that you take some toothpick, you know, try to prop it up. Anyway. Now, the Beatitude, as we come to know, is a picture of not a non-believer. It is a picture of a regenerate sinner. A picture of a genuine Christian. That is the picture of the Beatitude. It is not a secret formula whereby one can use it so that we can make life better for us in our interaction with other people. It is not. So for the first Beatitude, it speaks of the poverty of spirit, or about the poverty of spirit wherein the regenerate, the person who is regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, realizes his true sinful self, recognizes his or her unworthiness and insufficiency apart from God. That is the first Beatitude. Second Beatitude speaks about the regenerate sinner who acknowledges his or her own sinful tendency and the awfulness or the sinfulness of sin, recognizes that, and therefore, or thereby, mourning for his or her sin against God. And I would say that it is an ongoing spiritual exercise in the person who is regenerate by the Holy Spirit, to have this spirit of mourning, of reflecting and looking at ourselves and realizing how sinful we are, and yet be thankful to God that we are saved by grace and by His mercy upon us. And so these attributes of a regenerate sinner are generally inward, but it is manifest in his or her relationship with God and with fellow men. We come now to consider this evening the third Beatitude, which is meekness. Meekness is a spiritual quality of the inner man that can be quite easily detected by others during our interaction with others. Meekness testifies to others of the grace in the heart of a believer. It is a godly virtue which is come across as soft and gentle. But please take note. Yes, it is soft and gentle, but it is certainly not powerless, not weak, or spineless. And so let us look at it. This text in verse 5. Firstly, we have the biblical definition of meekness. The scriptural view of meekness is in the words of the Apostle Paul to Titus. Paul says this: "To speak evil of no man, to be of no brawlers, but gentle." That word gentle there can be rendered fair. "Showing what? Showing all meekness or mildness unto all men." Titus 3:2. James, the Apostle James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation or a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom." James chapter 3 verse 13. So meekness here is one of the affirming marks of having wisdom. And Peter speaks of meekness as an ornament of the hidden man in 1 Peter 3:4, whereby this person who is meek willingly accepts and submits without resistance to the will and desires of someone else. The meek person is not self-willed, not continually concerned with self or his own ways or own ideas and wishes. A person who is meek is willing to put himself in a second place, second position, and submit himself to achieve what is good for others or for the sake of others. In short, meekness is the opposite of self-will, self-interest, and self-assertiveness. To help us to have a complete or a better understanding of what meekness is, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 will be the best portion of scripture where we can have a better understanding of meekness. Psalm 37 describes the person who is not resentful. He bears no grudge. Far from mulling over injuries received, he finds refuge in the Lord and commits his way entirely to him. One who is meek is dying to all self-righteousness and knows that he cannot claim any merit from God. Since God's favor means everything to him, he has learned to take joyfully the loss suffered at the hands of others, knowing that he has a better possession and an enduring one. So a person who is meek is willing to submit to the hand of God, even in the most adverse situation or in very trying affliction. It is an attitude or a quality of mind, according to Acts 20 verse 19, whereby a person holds low esteem or opinion of his own goodness and importance. Now notice here, it is not a low esteem of yourself. A person who is meek holds a low esteem or opinion of his own goodness and importance. Spiritually speaking, he is one who abases himself because he realizes his sinfulness, and therefore he is willing to submit or to depend on God to meet his needs. It is the opposite of pride, of haughtiness, and self-exaltation. So, keeping this definition in mind, we see from Psalm 37 that there are two aspects in meekness. First, there is the meekness towards God. Look at verse 3, trust in the Lord. Look at verse 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto him. Verse 6, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 7. Second, the second aspect is there is meekness in relationship towards men. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9. So you see the vertical plane and the horizontal plane of this third beatitude. So then, let us remember that Christian meekness is like the cross. As I've just said, it has the vertical plane and the horizontal plane, on which meekness, or rather the one who is the meekest, think of this way, the one who is meekest was crucified for us. It has two dimensions. Vertical, pertaining to our relationship with God, and a horizontal, pertaining to our relationship with our fellow man or with our neighbors. Let us examine these two dimensions in the second part of this sermon. Firstly, meekness toward God. Meekness toward God is essentially humbling ourselves before the Almighty God. In meekness towards God, it comprises two kinds of submission. In meekness towards God, it comprises two kinds of submission. Number one, submission to God's will. Number two, submission to God's word. First of all, submission to God's will. The meek submits himself or herself to the providential working of God, of God's will, without complaining and murmuring. He or she knows that God is sovereign, and he or she who believes in the sovereignty of God will submit himself or herself to the providential working of God without complaining or murmuring. He echoes the words of Eli, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." 1 Samuel 3:18. He also says with the Apostle Paul, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Romans 8:28. He does not fret, meaning to say he does not become furious or angry and gets unduly upset when things turn out the other way that he desires. He humbly bows to the will of God and say, "The Lord knows best. I'm willing to submit. He is sovereign. I will trust in him." It was a meek spirit that enabled H.G. Spafford to pen the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And this song, I'm sure, has been of great encouragement to you and to many Christians who were going through difficult trials in their lives. This song was written after three devastating events in Mr. Spafford's life: the death of his only son, the destruction of his family business in the great Chicago fire of 1871, and then the third tragedy that came to his life was the drowning of all his four daughters in 1873. We are told that he had actually wanted to relocate to Great Britain, but because of his business, he was detained, and so he sends his wife and his four daughters ahead of the journey. The ship, however, did not complete its journey. It collided with another vessel and sank. Later, H.G. Spafford received a telegram from his wife in two words: "Saved alone." And I can imagine how those words must have pierced his heart. Later, as he traveled across the Atlantic to meet up with his bereaved wife, those moving words of the broken heart, yet victorious song, must have welled up in his heart when he wrote, "When sorrow like sea pillows roll, it is well with my soul." Yes, beloved, unless you and I are meek and thus submissive to the will of God in our life, we will have no occasion to rejoice. We will not understand what exactly meekness and peace with God is. Unless you and I have that meekness, that willingness to submit to the will of God, even though we do not understand why God has to do that in our lives, unless we have that, we have many occasions to fret, to murmur, to complain. Jude, when describing false teachers and false professors, says this: "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts." Jude 16. You see, brethren, when a person who is always complaining, always not satisfied, always upset over with everything and anything in his life or her life, always complaining and murmuring about his circumstances in life, about his job, about other people, and always running down others, you are actually seeing someone who is unregenerate, a man who considers his life so miserable that he does not understand true joy and true blessedness. The second aspect of meekness towards God is submission to His Word. And here, it is a meekness, this aspect of meekness towards God is to be adaptable or pliable, sensitive and willing to obey, and therefore submit to the Word of God. James 1 verse 21 says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the encrusted word which is able to save your souls." A believer who is meek toward God is ever desirous of knowing what the Word of God requires him or her and to submit to it. A meek Christian is one who does not pick and choose what he wishes to obey. He does not quarrel with the Word of God. He bows in submission and says, "Lord, please help me. It is difficult." He acknowledges that it is difficult to do the will of God. But yet, he is willing, and he prays that he prays for the help of God, and telling God that, "I desire to please you." That is the spirit of one who is meek and submissive to the Word of God. Now, the second, the horizontal plane, meekness towards man. The meek is not only meek towards God, but likewise towards man. Meekness is a grace whereby, listen to this very carefully, meekness is a grace whereby we are enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to moderate our passion, says Thomas Watson. So in and of ourselves, we cannot have the strength and cannot produce the kind of meekness that the Bible is talking about. We need the help, the power, the enablement of the Holy Spirit to help us to moderate our passion. In terms of meekness towards man, it has three levels. Firstly, bearing of injuries. Secondly, forgiving of injuries. And thirdly, rendering good for evil. First, bearing of injuries. This is the virtue that our Lord Jesus teaches us when he says this: "Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloth also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Matthew 5:39-41. Also in the Old Testament, in Numbers 12, we read of how Miriam and Aaron spoke against their brother Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he married. Actually, Miriam and Moses, or rather Miriam and Aaron, used it as a pretext to slander the servant of the Lord, Moses, so that they could share some of the glory that Moses was receiving. And they said this to Moses: "Have God indeed spoke only by Moses? Have he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Numbers 12:2. These words were probably made in the public, and it implied that Moses was not consistent and not worthy of the people's respect. But what did Moses do? Moses did not try to defend himself. Indeed, it appears that he did not even get angry. And it was not because Moses felt guilty or that there was any truth in the charge brought against him by Miriam and Aaron. Rather, the reason why Moses was not upset or angry and get so, woke up, it was a meek spirit that kept him from defending himself or retaliating. And this is what God had, and this is why God had to intervene on his behalf and have him wrote that particular remark in verse 3 of Numbers 12 says this: Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You see, brethren, in bearing with the faults of his brother and sister, Moses demonstrated true Christian meekness. And the Lord personally lifted him up. You don't have to do anything. God will vindicate you, my friends, brethren. If you are maligned by somebody falsely, wrongly, there is no truth in it, you don't get to jump high and low. Let us, by the help of God, exercise the spirit of meekness and let God do the rest. And here you see the Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 147 verse 6. God will stand up for you, brethren. But that does not mean that we Christians are to be trampled upon by anyone. We are not a floor mat for people to step on, isn't it? It doesn't mean when we are meek, it doesn't mean that we don't fight back per se. When the occasion requires us to speak up, especially to speak the truth, we ought to speak out in the truth, in love. We ought not to be saying that, I need to exercise the spirit of meekness, therefore I keep quiet. When it is time for you to speak up, when it is time for you to stand firm on your conviction, you do so by the help of God, but humbly, not out of the spirit of pride and haughtiness. But let us learn to have the spirit of Moses, to demonstrate true Christian meekness, to let God vindicate for us in His way and in His time. Secondly, forgiving of injuries. This is one thing that is very difficult. It is one thing to bear with injuries. It is another to forgive, isn't it? To forgive is more difficult than to bear. Let's face it. Every one of us, we have this difficulty, even though we may be Christians. It is so difficult, isn't it? And oftentimes, we may not say it aloud, but inside our heart. Yes, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. But forgiveness, brethren, is an extremely important exercise of every believer. Our Lord says this: And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Mark 11 verse 25 and 26. If you and I do not forgive, if you do not forgive, you know that you have not the spirit of meekness. You have not the spirit of Christ. For the Lord says this: Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11:29. Indeed, if you have not the spirit of Christ, from our understanding of this verse, Mark 11:29, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you shall have no rest for your soul, and you shall have no peace. For the psalmist affirms this teaching in Psalm 37 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Thirdly, and this is getting even more difficult, rendering good for evil. Rendering good for evil. This is more difficult than forgiving, isn't it? But it is taught by our Lord Jesus and also the apostles so clearly. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. knowing that ye are there unto call, that ye shall inherit a blessing. Another good example that we can learn from, to exercise or to cultivate this fruit, the spiritual fruit of meekness, is the good example of David. When speaking about his enemies, David said, "They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my spirit, or rather my soul, with fasting." David prayed for his enemies. But our Lord Himself is the supreme example. While on the cross suffering the pain and the humiliation, He prayed what? He prayed on behalf of those who nailed Him on the cross. He says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. So we have looked at the biblical definition of meekness. Secondly, the two dimensions of meekness, in that it has a vertical plane and a horizontal plane. Meekness towards God, meekness towards man. And then in meekness towards God, we have two kinds of submission. Submission to His will and submission to His word. And then coming down to our relationship with our fellow man in exercising this spirit of meekness, there's three levels: bearing of injuries and forgiving of injuries, and rendering good for evil. Now the fourth part of our sermon. Why is the meek blessed? The Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What does it mean to inherit the earth? Does it mean we will be given land? How nice, isn't it? I think I want a small portion will do at Buckingham Palace. That will be good enough, I think. So to understand this, we must go back to the Old Testament. First, let us go back to Psalm 37. Look at verse 10 to 11. Who are the meek contrasted with over there? In Psalm 37 verses 10 to 11. The meek is contrasted with the wicked. In other words, the meek is actually synonymous with the righteous. This is confirmed when we look at the other Psalms, like Psalm 76 verse 9, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. In another Psalm, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Psalm 149 verse 4. But what has salvation to do with inheriting the earth? Well, not only does the Old Testament sometimes refer to inheriting the land or the earth as a type of spiritual inheritance of salvation, but there is also a sense in which Christians are actually inheriting the earth. As a meek believer, every blessing that you receive from the Lord will be a blessing indeed. But if you are an unbeliever or a wicked person, as described by the psalmist, every blessing to the wicked will be a curse to you if you do not repent of your sin in this life. Why? Because the things that you enjoy in this life, which is a blessing from God, will serve as evidence or proof against you in the day of judgment. So take note of this. The more you have, the more you are accountable to God. To whomsoever much is given, much is required. So those of us who have less talents, less gift, spiritual gifts, be contented, be happy. You don't think it is fun to say, for example, to come out here to preach. You know, so glamorous. Wow. Everyone is quiet listening to you. You can say all you want and they cannot rebut you. Only after then you go down to the pulpit, then they can say that I disagree. But meanwhile, they continue to listen, no choice, forced to listen. You think so? You think it is fun to be up here? Well, those who think that it is fun to be up here to preach the word of God or to handle the word of God like the Sunday school teachers do, you better take note, because the day will come, you have to answer to God, what did you teach? What did you preach? You see? And so we think that it is fun. The more blessings we have, and we do not appropriate it and use it for the glory of God, the more we are answerable to God for that. You see, so be happy. If you have one spiritual talent, thank God for it. You don't need to envy those who are CEOs, managers, directors, you know, big shots and wealthy people. Don't have to envy them, because they have to give an answer to God more than you, because the Lord blessed them with that, and they are accountable for what the Lord has blessed them with. No one will escape. So when our Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, we must not think that our Lord is only referring to physical reward. The inheritance he speaks of is of a spiritual nature, and can only have a meaning for those who are God's children. So only those who have a regenerate heart have every reason to be blessed, though they may sometimes be trampled upon in this life. Those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have every reason to be blessed. We may also add that the meek is often the most blessed in this world, because their meekness will win over even their enemies. Psalm 37:11 says this, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is because in some sense, even the most stubborn and the most perverse person or unbeliever will be fearful or respectful to offend the meek. Now coming to the final section of this sermon, which is application. How do I cultivate the spirit of meekness? How do I cultivate meekness? Though meekness is a Christian grace, it is not perfect in every saint. And many of us need to grow in this fruit of the spirit of meekness. We need to grow. We need to cultivate it. We need to exercise it. And I like to suggest 5 practical steps, which are also hinted in Psalm 37. Look at verse 3. The first step is trust in the Lord. Consider that all the criticism and the injuries against you do not fall to you or do not come to you by chance without the sovereign appointment of God or God's sovereign permission. Consider it that way. When you are being criticized and trampled upon, look at it as God's divine appointment for you. When David was running away from his son Absalom, along came Shimei, who not only cast stones at him, but cursed David by calling him names. 2 Samuel 16:8 tells us that. And one of David's general reacted on behalf of David. He got so irritated and he asked permission from David to behead Shimei. But David responded this, behold my son, which cometh forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord have bitten him, or has appointed him to do so. 2 Samuel 16:11. Yes, therefore the man who would be meek must recognize that the Lord's hand is in his life in every circumstance. We must recognize that if you say that you have the fruits of meekness, then you must recognize whatever befalls you, Jesus doeth all things well. Second step, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5. Resolve to hear the word through reading, through meditation and preaching with true meekness and willingness to conform to it. I like to quote to you the spirit of the Berean and get the order right down there of the Christian in Berea. They did not come into the sanctuary to listen to the word of God with their clipboard. Okay, today, preacher mob, tie in order, good. Oh, hair, unkempt. Voice, not clear, don't know what he's murmuring, talking to himself. That's not the spirit of the Berean. They what? Receive the word with all readiness of mind, and then they go back and check. It's not coming in, check first. You know, check first. Notice the order. They receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, and thereafter they examine themselves. They go back and search whether it is true or not. So resolve to hear the word of God in your meditation, in the reading of God's word, in your Bible study. Receive the word of God with all true meekness and willingness to conform to it. I have already read to you James chapter 1 verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive the word with meekness, the encrafted word which is able to save your soul. The third step. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse 1. If someone disagree with you or try to oppose you, do not argue, do not quarrel with the person, but in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:25. Paul is telling Timothy, the young pastor, if they oppose your teaching, don't get upset, but in meekness, instructing them that oppose you, peradventure God may give them repentance. Let us learn rather to patiently persuade those who disagree with us, those who do not go with our conviction. Let us not force our will down their throat. Let us pray rather that the Holy Spirit will soften their hearts, will give them understanding. Peradventure the Lord may save them through your exercise of meekness, through your persuasion, rather than trying to hammer down your conviction to them. Fifth step, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 6 of Psalm 37. Pray that the Lord will fill you with a spirit of meekness. That's why we need to seek after it. It doesn't come by naturally for us. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to give increase in this spirit of meekness. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Where is this found? Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3a. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness and seek meekness. Paul instructs Timothy to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Follow, seek after. 1 Timothy 6:11. God is a God of all grace, brethren. And so as you and I acknowledge the hardness of our hearts to his word, as we humble ourselves and repent and turn away from our selfishness, our spirit of pride, and as we seek after him, as we seek after God's help to be meek, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit will help us, that the Holy Spirit will enable us step by step, precepts upon precepts, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And then we have the strength, enabling of the Holy Spirit not to retaliate and to submit ourselves to God's will and let God work out his will in our lives. The fifth step, the final step. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 7. Set your sight often to the meekest of all. Meaning to say, set your sight on the Lord Jesus Christ, the meekest of all. And learn from the Lord Jesus. Learn from his life. Learn from his example. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of in heart, and ye shall find rest also unto your souls. He does not. The Lord Jesus does not call us to learn Hebrew and Greek. He does not call us to perform miracles. He does not even tell us require us to preach. He calls us to learn of his meekness. Yes, if you and I would increase in the grace of meekness, study the Word of God, look into the Word and pay attention especially to those parts where Jesus suffered under the hand of the wicked, of those whom he came to save. He did no wrong against them, and yet he was willing to bear all that. So therefore, when you and I meditate upon God's Word, and as we seek to understand what true meekness is, look at the suffering of the Lord Jesus. He did no wrong, and consider how Christ willingly take up the bitter cup in submission to his Father when he prays, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22:42. In conclusion, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you are a genuine believer, Christ has begun a work of grace in your heart, and therefore you will have meekness. But we need to cultivate and grow in meekness. Though no believer is ever perfect in this life, yet every believer must have a degree of meekness and the desire, and I would add a growing desire, to make progress in this fruit of the Spirit, meekness. The world measures maturity by one's authority and power and command. But, listen to this very carefully, brethren. But Christian maturity is measured not by knowledge, by meekness. Christian maturity is measured by meekness, not by knowledge. Though it may sound paradoxical, we know it is true from Scripture and from experience that the more meekness you possess, the happier will be your Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only will you have an increasing assurance of everlasting life, you will also enjoy the fellowship and communion with the saints much more than those who remain proud, unteachable, and defensive in the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us seek to cultivate meekness. But if your life is in direct opposite of meekness, you must not remain as you are, and you must not excuse yourself by saying that it is your nature. I'm born like that. Who cares whether I'm meek or not? Oh no. If you are a child of God, God is concerned whether you are meek or not. If you do so, you might just be right. You know, your heart has not been changed if you continue in your state, and you have not been changed by the power of God through the gospel. If you are proud, selfish, quick-tempered, or quarrelsome, let us humble ourselves before the Lord. Let us plead with him for forgiveness. Let us turn to him who is ever willing to forgive. Our God is not only a God of wrath, as we learned this morning. Our God is a God of love, ever willing to receive anyone who humbles him or herself before him in repentance, in turning to him, in seeking to reconcile with the Lord Jesus Christ. God is ever willing to receive us. Let us not turn from him. Let us run to him, seek after him for his forgiveness. And peradventure, he may grant repentance unto life. Only then, when we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, only then can we have true Christian blessedness. So I have fulfilled my promise. Half an hour, I think so. And that ends this sermon. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again we praise and thank thee that you are such a wonderful and loving God to us, such a gracious, compassionate Father to us, your children. We thank you that you have blessed us once again with your sacred word, your word of life, your word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh Father, we thank you for such a blessing that we have received from you, that we have not only the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have not only God who is our Heavenly Father, we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to help us, to guide us, to comfort us, to encourage us every step of our ways in this pilgrim journey. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have not left us without help. You have not left us to our own devices. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given yourself to us. You have given your all to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we ever need in this temporal life, all that we ever want in this life, O Lord, can be found in our Lord Jesus. So help us to seek after you diligently. Help us to turn to you, and may your Holy Spirit come upon us afresh and anew to energize us, to empower us, to renew us, to revive us, to help us, O Lord, in this new week. Help us, we pray, for we do not know what is ahead in this new week, but you know us all things. And so we thank you that we can trust in you, a God who is almighty, all-knowing, altogether lovely. We bless and praise thy holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.